So just so we can hop into it before we start, shout out to Kyle. He hooked me up with Raph here, and I'm so thankful because I'm like, I know he knows as much as I know about this, and I was taking him like I'm super excited to talk about it. So I just want to shout out.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was like, he did a whole podcast on this already. Like, if you guys
I was watching. But no one, I don't believe anyone has like did a breakdown of who can possibly be in. So just so everyone knows what we're talking about the Craig Jones Invitational or the BDCC. And so if you don't know, I'm going to go through really quick. Please, anyone at any time interrupt me and, you know, kind of add to what I'm saying. So what Craig Jones is doing is a tournament under 80 kilos and over 80, 16-man bracket. I believe there's going to be three super fights. Craig versus Gabby, Fion Davies versus a mysterious person, and like a legends fight. We're not sure about what they're paying for the rest of those three fights, but we do know for the 16-man bracket, the winner is going to receive $1 million, which is unprecedented in jiu-jitsu. That's crazy. And just for showing up, you get $1,001. $10,001. Sorry. It's going to be one match per, and they're going to do it like karate combat style, like in a stage like that, a little bit as the same, which I love because now you don't have referee interference. The fights are just going to go on, you know, and you get penalized for moving backwards. This is, in my eyes, is huge. That's
huge space too. I mean, like you said, it was like 30 by 40 or something like that.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. I don't know exactly, but I think so. And so for me, like that's awesome. The pointing system is going to be, I think, the first couple of rounds are going to be 3 5-minute rounds. Mm-hmm. And then I believe the final is going to be like 5 3-minutes.
They're trying to mirror like a UFC fight.
Exactly.
So like 3 5-minute rounds for the regulars, but then for the championship or like a special event, if you would, those would be 5-5. So he did say for him versus Gabby, I do believe it's 3 by 5.
Mm-hmm.
So what you get from that is you get like the ability to see jiu-jitsu in. What he's trying to do is steal MMA fans.
Right.
Yes. So if you're trying to do that, mm-hmm. then you kind of give them something that simulates it with the scoring system.
Mm-hmm.
That then is 10-8, 10-9 rounds, and in some cases, 10-7 rounds.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, and I don't want to go on a tangent. I kind of want to stop on this small thing to get you guys' opinion. The point system, it's not going to be like regular jiu-jitsu. It's not like, you know, side control, mount, something like that. It's like, if you are like, having submission attempts or like you control someone, but you don't like have a leg in or whatever. Like the refs are going to score you on more control and more dominance than they are on traditional jiu-jitsu stuff. I just want to know, like, how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah. So I heard they're doing that. But I also heard like it's scored in such a way that if you have the mindset, cause you know, I constantly think about jiu-jitsu points and scoring like that past the guard. That's, you know, 3 sweeps, 2 knee on Billy, blah, blah, blah. From what I gathered, it's like you can still kind of follow that rule set and mm-hmm. still at the end of each round be like, oh, well, like I calculated, you know, those points and yeah, it ended up 10-8 or whatever at the end of the round scored to the other guy. So it can still sort of work under that idea that we as jiu-jitsu practitioners have, but also open it up to the larger MMA boxing world and everything mm-hmm. like that. And I wonder how it's going to translate with like time and, you know, because like if you're inside control for 30 seconds or whatever, like is it going to go to like that half point system in wrestling where like, you know, or judo where you control somebody?
At that point in time, I think it's going to come down a lot to like control time.
Right.
Overall. Mm-hmm. So it is going to be kind of confusing because jiu-jitsu is one of those things where you can attack while moving backwards. So
yeah,
they're very definite values almost in the scoring system. So yeah, I'm interested to see what the refs do with that.
You know, Craig was saying that there's the possibility of a 4-point differentium being almost a 10-8 round. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be difficult for a lot of people to get through. My whole contention with this is I want to see it first before I like go in and out completely on it. Because I go, you know what? It's a new idea. I don't know that I love it on pitch, but I got to see it executed. Right. Yeah. Having said that, I also want to bring this up, which is making me kind of see what they've done with Who's Number One does a system where it's a 15-minute match and they do them in periods. So they don't break anything up. But what they do after 5 minutes, they do a light show that says, we elect blue is our favorite right now.
Yeah,
But we've seen it's kind of meaningless because if you've watched Pena versus Nicky Rod, at the end, you got the impression that Nicky Rod had the favoring of the judges based on the five-minute breakups.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pena got the nod and everybody goes, but how? Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I think that they're trying to do is with the open scoring, allow the fans and the people in the audience to know exactly where you stand going into it. And that's different than MMA because some people have that want to know what's happening and what the judges are scoring. But now with jiu-jitsu, you get that opportunity to say like, hey man, you're deep down. Like it's been 2 10-8 rounds. If you want to come through, it's all in a submission now. Mm-hmm. And you really got to strategize that. I'm a big fan of in between rounds because I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I feel like in MMA, it's always cool to have a corner, like your guys that you can go back to.
Yes.
I'm so jealous of that in jiu-jitsu that I can't get my guy to hook me up with new information that maybe my brain's too dumb to figure out in the series of minutes that are going on.
So that's my next question with these rounds. Are they resetting after every round or are they going back to where they left off at the end of the round?
I believe, like, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe so. So I believe it's going to be just like a UFC or any other fight. Like, after the 5 minutes, you go into your corner. And I think, man, that's dope. Like, you know, just like to have your coach like, all right, I see what he's doing. Like, you're probably not seeing this. Let's try this approach.
Yeah.
You know, I like that idea.
They've done this before. So, like, Gordon has been cornered by, like, Tom DeBlast way back in the day. Where they were in a ring, like a boxing kind of ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it happen with certain organizations, but it never really took hold. Here, at least you get the opportunity to see it on a big stage with the Karate Combat-esque. We don't want to legal issues.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that it has that elevation so that when people get stuck on those sides, that also changes the game. So between all these different things, I think they're trying to create faster action and some monotony because if you've really watched ADCC over the years, you know that sometimes you're in for a forehead wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, it gets so boring.
Yes.
But I can't fault the athlete for trying to win.
Yeah.
So with this rule set, it's basically saying, hey, listen, if we break it up a little bit, maybe, just maybe, so that little reset gives you the opportunity. Maybe if you were standing up to pull guard now, or maybe to do this, maybe utilizing a little bit more of that cage work on the side of those mats.
But as you say, there's like, that's why I like the ring because now like it's like usually people like try to run out the ring to like get a start over. You can't do that this time.
Yeah.
You get penalized for it now, you know, so you get taken down.
What?
So with the karate, the karate-esque one is slanted.
Like 45.
Okay. That's kind of weird.
It's okay.
And it kind of brings cage work in a way.
Exactly.
Because
the one thing that I think it makes things a little bit difficult for is if you're trying to escape out of heel hooks off of that little ledge, you better hope that you're like fumbling like dum, 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 off right out of it because otherwise you're trapped.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So, all right, the next thing. So now that we got all like the rules and how everything is, I want everyone's opinion. There's a narrative of Craig, like, being petty, stealing fighters and everything like that with this whole thing. I want to get everyone's opinion about how do they feel about that or what do you think it is? And I'm going to say one thing and then I'll give my opinion after everyone else. The only thing that I'm mad about this is that Master Jean-Jacques is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. At the ADCC. It's the only thing that I'm pissed off about because it kind of takes away from him. And I love that man. That's the only thing that upsets me about this. But everything else I'm with. But I'll open the floor. Yeah. Whoever wants to, what do they feel about how Craig is handling this?
I will just say that I'm for it. Like, I'm kind of for it. I think, like, as much as I think there's tradition and respect within jiu-jitsu and the lineage and all that fun stuff, it is kind of time for, like, to shake up the game, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And if we want to elevate the sport, what better way to do it than try to integrate the MMA fans into it and using kind of a rule set they're used to and, you know, bringing them into the fold. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why, like, UFC and MMA get a bad rep is the grappling. Like, everyone's like, boo, when they're on the ground. This is going to help those people, those casual sports fans, understand that a little bit better and be like, oh, no, he's going for an armbar. Oh, he's going to do that smother choke. Whatever the case is, I feel like it's a beneficial for the sport. So I like it. I love it.
Yeah, I definitely think this is good for the sport. Athletes getting paid. I mean, here's the thing. Like, we don't know if this is going to happen next year. I know he wants to do it every year, but, you know, forking out $2 million and then some every single year, you know, it's got to be profitable. And this is the big argument with ADCC, with IBJJF or whatnot. It's like, it's not profitable and that's why we don't pay more. And it's like, but then again, every once in a while you have promotions like EBI coming around. Like, before EBI, I don't believe IBJJF paid their athletes, right? The winners. And now they pay them something. It's not enough, but it's something. So, like, you have these smaller promotions coming up that are like, we're paying our athletes. We're putting them on, you know, the pedestal, but also giving them fucking money because they just spent 2-3 months out of their life training for this thing, fucking themselves up, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's great for the sport. I don't even know. Is it going to last? Who knows? But a one and done, go in there and win $1 million. Mm-hmm. That's fucking huge.
Yes.
And honestly, like, I think they can coexist. Craig has already said, like, if Mo decided to pay people more, this probably wouldn't have even happened. You know, even $20,000 instead of the $10,000, it might not have even happened. But, you know, he just wants to poke the bear a little bit. And I don't think that's terrible.
Yeah. You have efficacy when you choose the right time. I think what happens in this particular thing is it is both trolling and for power. And ADCC, in my opinion, has put on many good shows. They've done some good things. Mm. On the production side, I think they've made questionable choices. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is because you're the big kid in town, you don't take well to criticism. So they don't like it when anybody gives any kind of notes. And so what I've seen over the years, in my opinion, is they host a good tournament that is not quite a great TV product yet. Sure. And what I've really wanted is like, hey, man, if they curb this, if they spend this money here, Craig's whole contention was, okay, that's good and fine, but why did you go to more expensive venues like the T-Mobile Arena, which are going to be quoted at $2 million? Now, do we know that the exact price is that? No, but it is definitely more expensive. Yeah, and when he's saying the Thomas Mack is an affordable thing, then that's where that whole argument for how you're spending your money or how you're spending it on the athletes and how you're spending it on the production all comes into question. And the issue that I had was that over the years, when you're the big kid in town, you get a little bit of sense of like, you don't know how to do this. Don't talk to us. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, that's why you saw Craig do it. It was dismissing his criticisms outright and diminishing him. Mm. And what ended up happening was they said the tired and true statement, which is, oh, if you think you know how to do it, go do one.
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, and then I'm going to do one and I'm going to do it the same weekend. And now we're going to find out in a true battle whether prestige or money is what people want. And what maybe people miss on that argument is sometimes along with the money comes the prestige, exactly, depending on who you're doing. So you're seeing some people now starting to say this. I saw a video recently where they said, I hate that the athletes have to choose. And I started thinking about it like, wait, I love that they get to choose.
Yes.
Because now if they take that slot, somebody else is going to fill that ADCC. So it doesn't mean that it's going to be a worse tournament. You're still going to have killers at ADCC who are truly loyal to that product. But to say like, man, I'm so bummed that they would force the athletes to do this. It's like dreams change. Sometimes the thing that you have a fixated goal on is not the reality when you get close to that goal. And I think what you're seeing right now is they're thinking in their heads, they're like, I've always dreamt of being an ADCC champion. And it's like, cool. But haven't you dreamt about actually taking care of your family, yourself, situating that there? Yeah. And if it's a one and done thing, mission accomplished.
Exactly.
Like, 100%. If you're being like, well, what if it's not sustainable? And I was like, so what? They change the game. If you do one and done and it does happen.
It's also that old argument of the IBJJF being like, well, we don't pay our athletes because the prestige is what gets you your pay. You know, you're going to have seminars around the world. You're going to have students at your academy.
But see, this is why this is so fun. So people who are bogged down on it being dramatic or trolling, forget these origins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's run it back a little bit. So the AADCC became the premier show. Then you had shows like EBI that emerged out of trolling Meta Morris because there was a bad break there. When that happened, they were choosing the same dates to go up head to head. And guess what? Meta Morris didn't survive, not because it wasn't an interesting product. It really did change the game in a lot of ways, but because it was not sustainable and it didn't pay its athletes.
Okay.
And when that happens, people don't want to get behind that. And believe me, there were still people in the chat being like, I'll sign up for that. And I go, you are the most insane of the folks that I know. But that's how thirsty our athletes were.
Yeah.
Now, IBJJF runs the same argument of we have prestige. At the top of that list, you have Gordon Ryan saying, well, prestige doesn't pay for this. And actually, prestige doesn't make this or give me this opportunity here. Now, Gordon is the establishment. And now he's telling you, like, why would you go over there? Because everybody knows the real thing. It's like, well, you're tied to it because your legacy is now ADCC.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that you're not good at it. You're clearly the guy at it. But you're trying to use the arguments against these people that you used when it was convenient to you.
Damn, that's a lot.
I've talked about this a little bit. We've had some at bats, but so, everything's been changing so fast.
Honestly, and like at the end of the day, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's good for the sport. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, there's people that are going to jump ship and now there's someone else who gets to make a name for themselves at ADCC because they're both still going to go, you know? But at the end of the day, money talks, dude. And like, their ADCC built itself off the names Gordon Ryan, off of Craig Jones. They built themselves off of these names. So why wouldn't they pay them? At the same time, it's like they've earned, like all athletes throughout this time has earned their respect. They've put in the training hours. They've tore their body. Like the first ADCC I went to, I'm sorry, I don't know the dude's name, but he legitimately does not have feet. He doesn't have feet. He like his legs go straight down and then it like flattens out and he kills people with heel hooks all day.
That was a trials, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen it. I mean, my favorite thing about, so we do fight companions for like all the ADCC products.
Yeah.
So whenever there's West Coast trials, East Coast trials and the actual worlds, we do a live react as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being surprised because I don't know everything.
Yeah.
But what happens is you'll see somebody emerge. So the first time I saw Nicky Rod, the joke out of my mouth was, what's this dollar store version of The Rock doing on our show? And then he becomes a thing. So that by the time I get the opportunity to interview him, I was like, hey man, you've come a long way from when I called you a dollar store version of The Rock. And he's like, you really say that about me? I was like, I say a lot of things, man.
I talk a lot of shit around.
I was like, listen, bro. I go, if you're on air, you have to be willing to do the jokes that you say about people to their faces. And that's kind of been our rule. Like no matter what, whenever we do a joke, I think it's always tasteful enough to do that joke to that person.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we differentiate ourselves from other memers who are like, who said that? I think
I probably said it.
Well, I'll say this and I'll be quick. I like what he's doing. I don't like that people are saying that he's stealing fighters. He's not stealing fighters. And it's like, well, why are you being so petty and you putting it on the same day as ADCC? The only way that the fighters can actually take a stand if you do put it on the same day, because then you have to make a point. You know what I mean? Like if you do this any other day, of course all the fighters are going to go to it. But if you go against the biggest competitor, that makes the athlete make a decision. What's more important? Like you said, prestige or money? And they're picking it right now. You know, and if you give me that opportunity, I'm going over there. I'm going where the money is. You're telling me if I go to ADCC, I lose first round, I get nothing. I go home with nothing. My name is nothing, everything. But at least if I go over here and I lose, at least I leave with what the first place winner would have got. You know, that's huge, yeah. You know, and you're giving me a chance to win $1 million. My life will change now, you know,
in this particular case, it's not just the prestige of winning. Actually, on the Craig Jones Invitational, I argue the prestige is this is your body of work. We selected you. Here's your show money. And I think that's a really cool way of acknowledging that body of work that they've done to get there, where the trials process is like, cool, you did this for the honor of fighting still for no money potentially, but you're going to be in our Olympics.
And
guess what? It's kind of working. You know, did you see what happened with Fionn?
Yes.
I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see.
And I love that she came out and talked about it too.
What I like about it more than anything is that she's a female leading the way. And you don't really see that a lot in the sport, females taking charge and saying, hey, this is the way we need to navigate the system. We need more pay. This needs to be fair for everybody. And I think a lot of it is just like, it's hard to speak up when you're oppressed in general. So I think as men, we need to speak up for those women and help advocate for that kind of thing. And hats off to her for doing it, in my opinion.
We get a lot of people that, I got somebody who sent me a note. It's like, well, she should take off the ADCC from her flyers.
Why?
Because they're in their fields. So people are just trying to throw whatever they can.
Yeah.
But I try to logically figure, they're saying, well, if she hates ADCC so much, why is she using that as marketing for her? When in actuality, the point is she is a champ that doesn't go away. That stays with you forever.
You can never
does it to her.
You can never say that I'm not an Olympian. I'm always an Olympian, period. Like I'm an Olympian gold medalist. You can never take that away from me.
But I do want to talk about the process in which he was able to help make the change. So by her as a champion saying, I don't want to be involved in another ADCC because the pay, there is a disparity and I don't like that. And she was saying before any of this came up, she was wondering if there was something she could do. Then she gets the opportunity. She messages Craig and says, how can I be involved? And in doing so, she basically was saying, I'm their returning champ. How can I benefit here? They didn't even have a women's division. And yet, whatever they're offering her has to be more valuable than whatever it is she was going to get from ADCC to repeat again or to maybe win the women's absolute. And here's where I show that little bit of pettiness that I think, or that hubris that ADCC has, which is when they were making the change, a reporter by the name of Alex Wendling, who's amazing, was in the chat section while Mo was doing a live. Now she says to him, why is there still pay disparity? Mo's response is, all right, fine. We'll take care of that. You know what? Based off of your question right now, we're going to fix that right now. The choice words that come after that are, it means nothing to me. It doesn't matter. And then you think about it and you go, then why? Why didn't we change that before? Like, it's not like a damning of that person because Mo has done good things. But that flippancy is the tendency that I think creates the competition. So really when people are wondering like, why does this exist? It exists because you put it out there. And so now when they're saying like, hey, why can't we just celebrate this good thing? And it's like, it's an undeniable good change. But I believe that credit goes to Fionn for making the stand, for saying, let me get out of this. And it goes to Craig for providing that opportunity. So at the very least, it did accomplish something. But I did comparatively have to put up the meme of Chris Paul knocks the lead down to 43 by smashing this three in there because I go, sounds good. But if you're offering $1 million now for other people, it's, you know what I mean? Like a 4K is not nothing, but it's still like not addressing the larger issue at hand.
All right. Now on to a little bit more of the fun stuff.
Can I say something real quick? I think it's dope that even though she's stepping out, she says, whoever the champion is, whoever wins, let's run it.
And let's make more money.
Yes.
Like, why don't we do this? Because in my head, this is how it goes, okay? The smartest thing to do here, and I think Craig says they're open to having a relationship with them at any given time. Smart. ADCC.
It's not going to happen, though.
You know what, though? Business can change things.
I said that to somebody recently. They gave me a look. It was like, nah, we ain't having to talk. So,
but if you put enough pressure on them, because people are talking about this year for ADCC, mm-hmm. right? Damage is already done. We know what's happening. Nobody's talking about next year if they do the Craig Jones Invitational. Mm. If it is sustainable for year two, and now all those people that were blocked because of loyalty now have the opportunity to compete, does that then create so much more distance where it puts ADCC in the back burner? And then are they more willing to come to the table and say, like, you know what? Let's do a Super Bowl. AFC, NFC. Yeah, let's do that. So Fion was already the one saying, like, screw that. I already make more money off of super fights individually. If the champ of that wants to go up against me, the returning champ from the last one, why don't we do a super fight and make more money? So she was already putting ADCC out of contention. Like, you know what? Mm-mm. I don't need to worry about that. Now we're in a space where if a promoter wants to come to us, a Polaris, another big name, a who's number one, you better pay us as champions. So that symbolism that people are talking about, they don't understand the trees of implications that happen from that.
Yeah.
Man, this is why we had you on. Well said.
All right, so this is a real quick one. Which one do you think is going to have more viewers? CJI or ADCC?
I'm going to say CJI.
It's free on YouTube.
All right, so we're round up.
That YouTube is key, bro.
It is. Yeah, it is.
I mean, if you want to pull viewers that don't know jack shit about jujitsu into a jujitsu match, you make it free so they can tune in and be like, oh, let me figure it out. And now they're not going to, and it's probably not going to do anything for the sport. I joke. I'm just saying, like, for somebody that doesn't know jujitsu, to watch jujitsu, it's not a spectator sport. It's not flashy. It's not cool. Nogi is a little bit more cool, a little bit more flashy. It's more active. You know, you've got, you know, it's really cool to see two heavyweights go at it.
But you don't know until you put it out.
You don't. I mean, it could flop.
So this is the big thing that I think people need to understand is there's a lot of uncertainty here. And so when people are up in their arms and you're seeing ADCC now starting to put up, you know, a couple of their guys are wearing shirts that's ADCC versus everybody. Like, my best advice is run your show. Run your show as best you can because you might still be the prestige tournament, but the way you're acting will always live on. The internet will not forget. Yeah. So the internet will see how crazy you are and how scared and shook you got. But if you run your race and you give us ADCC, the tournament that we know and love, and you make some little small improvements here and there, you could still win this because you're asking the viewership. The answer is obviously Craig Jones Invitational. Flow has never released any of their information. You don't know what their viewer counts are. You don't know what their demos are.
Tired of Flow.
A lot of people don't have goodwill with Flow anymore because whenever you try to get ADCC, they hide the monthly. You have to go through back channels on their pages. You have to find it out. But they say, hey, are you for ADCC? Would you like to have Flow for a year? And you're like, not really. I'll just pay for the week. If I can just get it for 3 days, that'd be great. And they go, no, here it is. If you go through one of their other channels, like Flow Wrestling or a different thing, they still have the monthly there. You find the monthly, you do it for $40. And I've had people where I go, you know, honestly, if you pay 4 months, you're essentially paying for a year. So you might as well do that. They're like, I'm good just paying once. Like, that is how...
Wonder if they're going to try to fix that this year.
I don't know why they haven't fixed it.
No, they're going to like try to hide it even in any of the like the back doors. I wonder if they're going to like, nope, you got to sign up for a year.
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because there was a big talk for 2022. Everyone was talking about that. But all right. From everyone, who would you like to see come over to the Craig Jones Invitational? And before I say that, let's give out who's already in it, okay? So we have Luke Rockhold, who is not usually in an ADCC, but he's in there. So we have Luke Rockhold.
Stinky good jiu-jitsu, by the way.
He tapped Craig, and he's like, he needs to be in.
And his credentials are up there. He also had a super fight with Nicky Rod that was went to decision back at Polaris. So his credentials are good.
Am I wrong in saying that Craig Jones said Luke Rockhold is already on board? I've already left ADCC.
No. So Luke wasn't even in it.
Okay.
He wasn't in ADCC.
Okay.
But he's been part. I'm just naming the people who are in.
Okay.
So we have both Tackett brothers, William Tackett and Andrew Tackett. We have Roberto Jimenez.
Okay.
We have Mason Fowler. Almost everyone from BET team. We have Nicky Rod, J Rod, Nicky Ryan. We have Joseph Chin, who's a freaking beast. We have who else do I have on here?
I think you have most of those names. I think you, if you're missing one,
I said Mason. I said Roberto. Okay. All right, so out of those, that's like a small list out of, I think there's more. Who would we like to see in the CJI? And then we're going to go into the breakdown of possibilities, who could possibly come over.
Honestly, after you told me that list, I think that they have a good chance of like really sticking into ADCC.
It's already a great list. They took some
outside of that. My boy Mika is the last one that I'm like, come on, is Mika Galvao?
There you go. Yeah, sure.
But
I don't want to say, but it was kind of alluded that they were in talks.
Yeah, but the thing with jiu-jitsu, that every sport has their polarizing athlete. That it doesn't matter if you know it or not. Like. Gordon is that for jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? Right now, Gordon is that. The next closest thing is Nicky Rod. So the fact, I would say Nicky Rod. The fact that they have, like Craig Jones has him, that's a huge, like playing piece in his pocket. Just because people want to watch these people. Like, I can't go to ADCC and people are going to be like, oh, yeah, let me watch Devontae. No one knows any of my work. Like, no one knows what I can do. But we know what Nicky Rod can do. We know what Gordon Ryan can do. And if those guys didn't come over, I don't think they would have stood a chance. I don't think
You think that there's, like, a possibility that a lot of the, like, half of the roster is going to come over to Craig?
I'm not going to say half the roster will come over to Craig, but...
You got 32 spots to fill, right?
Yeah, like if...
No, you don't have 32 spots because...
16,
but because of the people that are already in there, right?
Yeah.
So you probably have like 24-ish
24, yeah, right now left.
I'd love to see Marigali over there.
Ooh,
that's not happening. That's not going to happen.
Let me take that one further. I want Gordon to come. Here's why.
Yes.
Now, he hasn't closed the door to it, and he said, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, Gordon, he said, maybe?
Well, because, no. What he said, because they were asking him on his barrage of interviews he did this week, and they were like, would you be okay with Gordon coming? He's like, sure. Yeah, why not? I mean, why not? It's not definitely for sure. The troll job of it is, it's designed to appeal to Gordon. Here's why. Because Gordon in the past has done ADCC and is like to talk about the history he's done. So it was I'm not just doing the absolute. I'm going to win my division and then I'm going to win that. So he likes doing these big historical things. So why wouldn't it be if they could cut a deal with Mo where he would allow him to go compete, hold those for the end of the day, see if he makes it and wins, because then he has the argument of full supremacy. Yeah. And even if he did win, the key note here is, yes, you get the million, and that would be a huge feather in your cap, but you would forever be known as the Craig Jones Invitational winner. So when Craig did it, he moved this chess piece ever so slightly just to the left to make you think like, well, I could go win that $1 million. These guys are nothing to me. And then you go, well, why don't you do it?
Yeah.
That you won't. It is a spectacular move.
Funny.
Now,
it's really funny.
It would also mean he would have to undermine his legacy, the ADCC stature. So it's very likely, odds on favorite, 90-1.
Yeah.
He's not going to do that.
When you first said it, I thought you said Gordon said he would maybe do it.
But Craig was like more in the space because everybody kept asking. This is the weird part about the people who are outside of the sport. They have these huge followings. So I'm very happy that they're going on their shows. But the line of questioning either made them turn into fanboys, where they were laughing before Craig would say the joke.
Yeah.
Or they were unable to relate to him. And they were bringing up weird side stories that didn't really stick to the topic.
Yeah.
But what I did notice, though, was when Craig was barraged, asked by these interviewers, like, what's your status with Gordon? Mm-hmm. Do you talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we don't. And you think about it, like, if somebody asked you this, like, if you guys asked me this right now, and you're like, do you talk to this person? I'd be like, nope. You might think, like, well, I have one follow-up question. Can I ask why? If that person doesn't give you the why, he's not going to give it up.
Yeah.
Same thing with Craig. When they're like, hey, Craig, can you tell me who's coming in the tournament?
Nope.
And they're like, all right, cool. Can I guess? And you go, dude, he's better at this than you.
Yeah.
He's not going to give it up just because you tricked him by oops.
Right.
And people who they've talked about for the legends, they've been talking about people like Marcelo Garcia, your GSP, your Khabib, like all these people, and they're trying to get that information because they want that.
He said it on Joe Rogan's show, but they cut it out.
I heard a rumor it was actually Marcelo's name that he said.
Oh, my God.
But here's the best part of this whole thing is now all of us are sitting here at a table. There's five of us having a speculative conversation that will inherently change. Like, we are giving you the best information that is happening right now on this date. Things are going to change. And I love the excitement it is creating because everybody who thinks they know, they don't.
Go ahead.
There was a rumor that Marcelo was going to fight someone very close to us. But I don't think that it could happen now because there's some conflict right now.
Right.
So, but that would have been dope.
Really? God, dude.
Boys, I have to tell you, this kind of talk has happened more often than not, I'm sure, with the person you're thinking.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I have had it happen in my time too, where you think, like, I really want that match, and I can't make it happen. But situations being what they are.
Life happens.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I was going to say, is Craig Jones low-key the new Eddie Bravo of this generation? Because, I mean, he's kind of like...
he looks like he's trying to become like a Dana in a way. Because he's doing a hard promotion run right now. And he's looking good doing it, to be honest with you. He's doing a great job.
Craig's one of those guys that just has so much charisma, you know?
Yes.
I mean, that's why, like... He jokes around a lot, and you never know if his jokes are serious or he's being real. And, you know, just with the CJI thing, like, he was real about that, you know? Is he the Eddie Bravo of our... I think he's probably better at it.
Yeah.
Just because of how personable he is, and he doesn't have these crazy ideas.
Dragon Spine Twister.
He hangs out with Alex Jones.
So
they have an overlap.
Yeah,
but he's just not promoting it as much.
Yeah.
I think Craig is he's in for nonsense. Mm-hmm. So I think he indulges a lot. I actually was getting the impression, because of all the charity work he's doing, he's kind of like merging different personalities into one. So the promoter side is sure, like your Dana. Mm-hmm. But then he's almost becoming like a Mr. Beast character online, where he's kind of getting people to like really get in it. And he's very savvy about how he does his marketing and his promotions. But then I think you mentioned the Eddie Bravo aspect because of a legacy that's outside of what they did, just in competitive, because now Eddie has all these different 10th planets.
Sure.
He started B team.
Yeah.
So I think, as every generation does, like, back in the day, you could only be an actor or a singer. People who tried to do both, you'd clown on them for one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now you're kind of like, when Jennifer Lopez is doing a song, you go like, yeah, sure, that's what she does, right? But she acts, right? Doesn't she act more?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, Jennifer Lopez is going to be a mogul for this perfume. And you go, you know what? Make all your money.
Yeah.
Just do what you want.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
All right. So let's do a breakdown.
Okay.
Let's do a breakdown, fellas. Now, I know some of us are not going to know everyone on this list. I'm a nerd, so I think I know a lot of these people. So this is going to be a breakdown of, like, who could potentially come over to CJI. The first one, I don't know everyone's opinion because you said one of the guys. So I'm going to name everybody. But I personally don't think anyone from New Wave is going to go.
I would agree with that.
But let me just name them just in case. All right. So we got Big Dan. We got Nicholas Mirigali. We have Giancarlo Bodoni. I said Nicholas. Am I missing anyone?
Is it Taza?
And Oliver Taza. And I think that's it.
May I propose a name?
Yes.
That's not on there. That has told me in interviews that he wouldn't likely do ADCC.
That he would not?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's busy, usually, which is a fight career, which is Gary Tonin. So if Gary's not on the list, Gary is the perfect person to send from New Wave over there. But the joke that Craig has been funneling out, which I saw online, and I guess maybe he poached it or he's been the guy behind it, but he's like, ADCC is going to be a New Wave open mat. And again, like now the subtle shade of him throwing it back at them is, I know you won't come deal with me, so you're going to have the best of the remnants. By calling it an open mat, it's trying to undermine them back in the way he got undermined. So I would say this. Gary fits the description for the following reasons. Exciting grappler. For a long era, was the most exciting no-gi grappler we had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his status is with Craig. I don't know that it's as deep as Gordon's hatred is, but Gary has always struck me as somebody in my interviews with him. It's like somebody you could deal with.
So you don't think like someone from New Wave going over there would completely ban you from New Wave? Like with John's relationship with Craig and with Gordon's relationship with Craig, you're like, if you go over there, you're drawing a line in the sand.
This seems like such a stupid thing.
It is.
It doesn't mean it wouldn't happen.
It's a lot of dumb politics.
But I have to say this. I think the idea is, if you're smart, you only hold the line when in actuality, if Gary did well or a representative did well, one of their JV squad members, you could open it up and right back at them, show them that you're the dominant force. You could split squad and win. And then how would you say it? If Gordon's winning and Mirigali wins, what's the argument there? Okay, great. They won ADCC. But if you had a representative, a junior squad member, you send Big Dan over there to win plus 80, he's got the size, then you could say maybe potentially you had $1 million winner and two there. It goes back to my Gordon argument, but it's more so just, why are you putting limitations based off of politics when you could split squad and get the best of all worlds? And your people who are your hardline, like civil rights leaders who are going to not go because of their convictions can be themselves, but you go in and you get those people that you go, oh, well, that person going over there would actually be really entertaining. Like Giancarlo going over there. I don't know. I don't know that he'd win, but
the idea,
I think he would.
I like
think under 80. If he was able to get, where is he? Giancarlo is where? No, he's 88. He's minus 88. It'll be hard for him.
It's hard. But he's a beast, and it's not impossible.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of if I'm a coach and I really am looking out for what's best for my athletes, how could you not? How could you not entertain at least the idea of it just based on principleness? But again, none of us know why they broke up.
That's true.
We don't know their inner.
We have an idea.
So
when you read that, though, my whole thing is this. There's no journalists in our sport, right? Like, when people tell me, they're like, you're one of the journalists in our sport. I'm like, cool. When I fact check, where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I have to bring people on my show. And it's a matter of me being like, go on record. Otherwise, everything else is speculation.
Yeah,
absolutely. That, I'm sure that story is speculation enough that some of us go, is that true?
Here's the thing. There's a lot of smoke around that story. It's not just a little bit. Yeah. It's a whole lot.
But I would ask you this. I think the only things that I would say to consider in it, because again, I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. So let's make that very clear. I wouldn't put it past Craig, who has made references to that story.
number of times.
To not be smart enough to play with the intention of what people know rather than the actuality of what happened.
Yeah.
I can tell you, if somebody's brother went and hung out with you, there's something pretty big that made that split. So whatever it is, for your brother to take the side of a different dude, a stranger from another country who hung out with your team for 2 years and say, like, no, I'm riding with them. F y'all. Like,
yeah.
Something happened.
I always chalk it up to just, I don't want to live in my big brother's shadow, but there's that side of it too.
You know what, though? I think they'd be a little more civil, though.
I think so.
I think there'd be a little.
They've talked.
I've seen, though, whenever people are doing that, they have that camera hard on that flow cam. That's like, look, see, they're friends. Yeah. See, they like this grainy 720 footage. They're besties.
I was gonna say real quick. You can say what you want to say. Is that Dan is the one person from New Wave that I thought would come over on the sheer fact of like he's so new in the game that he hasn't really made his money yet, and this is an opportunity for him to get a come up in an environment where he should do well.
Well, here's the thing, and not to fight you back on this. Yeah. Dan has talked a number of times how much he loves John and how much he loves Gordon.
Like he said, bro. Like if John loves his like Gordon like wants to grow his team, it's a tactical move to put someone in Craig Jones.
We're keep thinking about that, but we're forgetting about the egos of these guys.
Sure.
The egomaniacs, man.
But imagine how your ego would go if you're like, yeah, bro, you were talking all that shit. I sent someone over there to fucking dominate.
You're going over there to his tournament. It's like, no, he's trash to us. You know, I mean, look, this is my opinion.
For $1 million, bro, I'll go choke out trash right now.
I'm not thinking like that. You're like, it's not worth it.
I think you're both right.
Yeah.
It's that you're right in assuming that is the most likely outcome of how they are being treated. Mm-hmm. But you're right in saying why. So my contention has been consistently, if these guys are so strategic and they've shown they've won in almost every rule set possible, why wouldn't you split squad other than just politics? Like legitimately, and think about it. In different tournaments, they've bragged about their B team members, thus the B team, beating other teams. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That came back to burn them when they're like, well, we should name our team B team because that's all they think of us as. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it shows that there was a strategy to split, divide, and conquer. Here, if they don't divide and conquer, they're only costing their own athletes. And I'm sure maybe they do okay, but not as good as Gordon. And even Gary, the disparity between what I would assume Gary makes and Gordon makes, I think it's still pretty drastic.
Yeah.
And then even on top of that, it's like, why not set yourself apart? Like if they split teams and they go over there and they win, then there's no question. Like, yeah, New Wave, we're better than you.
Having said that, though, I think Bing Dan actually has a really good shot of winning ADCC. And I think that weighs heavily in his.
Is Bing Dan and Gordon in the same bracket? Because he's in. No, Gordon's going to be in 99, minus 99. Big Dan's in plus 99, correct?
I think so.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
I was going to say
I'm so sorry. Plus 99. They're both in there.
They're both in
plus. So it's Big Dan and Gordon. You know what? Then, why wouldn't you send them over?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's just an idiot. No, they're just creating another silver medalist. Legitimately, that's the next one.
No, not even a silver. Because ADCC is going to make them fight them first. Either first or second.
Right.
So he won't even.
I don't know, maybe they relax that rule this year. They're like, you know what, New Wave, y'all win. Like,
whenever.
No, you know what, no more rule this year. If you guys are best friends, they ruined it for us. They have to fight in the finals.
They made Autos fight almost all their players.
At least by the semis, they have to fight. Mm-hmm.
After the show, I want to ask you something.
Okay. I'll tell you anything you want to know off air.
I was good. We transitioned. We're good.
All right, so now, like, if we got New Wave out the way, we're going to go down to in each bracket.
Yes, sir.
There's one person in it that is not, hasn't received the invitation yet, at least from not my understanding, no. But I think one person that hasn't been invited, who's most likely going to be in the CJI, is Lachlan Giles.
I hope so.
I think so. Him with him in the relationship with Craig, I believe that Lockie's going to be over there. He's a smaller guy, but he's shown that he can beat bigger guys.
Man, that's what I love about him.
So I think Lockie's going to go over there. Sorry. So I'll just have him like
pencil in.
Yeah, yeah, pencil in Lockie. Okay. All right. So here we go. Plus 99. We have Big Dan. We have Heike. I can't pronounce his last.
More different, Gordon Ryan.
Okay.
Yes.
He looks like a...
He's like a trash man. He looks like a trash man.
Sorry. He looks like a Swedish version of Gordon Ryan. Like they tried to make him out of chocolate and they're like, good enough. That's kind of like Gordon.
That's funny.
We have Victor Hugo. Nicky Rod is out. We have...
Gutenberg Perea.
Gutenberg Perea. We have Philippe Pena. And we have Josh Saunders.
Ooh, Philippe, I could see doing, actually.
I was going to say that, too.
See Philippe do it, yeah. I mean, big name in the sport. Good for the Invitational to have him aboard.
Does he want that?
He's on a down float right now?
Well, I think he'd be good with, like, the system they're setting up with the rounds.
You know? Oh, yeah, because he does round pass.
Yeah, because, yeah, I think, you know, he can be really explosive, but also, you know, he runs out. Like, you know, anytime you see him in those long matches, it's like,
you know what? Yeah. Off of those, Victor and Philippe would be my picks if I was the guy. Mm. I would try to steal them pretty hard, because if you did that, you'd be taking out Philippe's prestige with it. Victor's kind of like next heir status as somebody who's a savage.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I didn't think about? Mm. It would take away from Gordon, too. Because Gordon wants to beat Philippe so, like, he wants to get that third win on him, and he leaves, that takes it away from him. That would hurt.
As petty as I think Craig Jones is, which I'm pretty as petty, yeah,
I think he's doing everything.
I'm going after Victor Hugo.
I absolutely go after those two, and I just steal them. And like you said, it does tarnish it. Like, Gordon, yeah, probably wins that again. But is it as satisfactory without that fourth match?
Mm-hmm. No.
Probably not.
My pick in this whole thing for someone I think is going to actually go is Josh Saunders. He's an Aussie. Is the guy who went from white to brown in like 18 months.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I want to make sure I know, though.
He's a real, like, he could win it all. But I think he has somewhat of a relationship. Look, they're Aussies, so they have like some type of camaraderie. I think he could definitely go. All right. That was plus 99. Here's minus 99. This one's going to be a good one.
Damn.
Two of the guys are already over there, but I'm going to name them anyway.
Please.
Kynan Duarte, Mason Fowler, Roberto Cyborg, Roberto Jimenez, Eli Brass. Mm-hmm. Rafael Lovato Jr., Nicholas Mirigali, and Alex Grandy.
Okay.
We know Nicholas.
Lovato Jr. is
such a good division right there.
It is.
He just won ADCC.
He's like, oh, forget it, guys. This all comes around.
They lost two of the biggest names in it. Yeah. Mason and Roberto Jimenez. Mm-hmm. Those are some big
Let me lose some more for you right here. I would, if I were them, I feel like I'm like some sort of GM right now, being like, what can we do? What's the deal?
You have been like navigating the first ever BJJ draft, like on your show. Well, that's what I feel like it's been like.
Can I point this out for you guys? You have the space to do this. And I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not going to tell you guys.
No, go ahead.
But I think, because I don't have the space on my show, but I was thinking they need to have the Charlie Day crazy who went over from where. Because I swear to God, on my show, because we will do like live episodes, we get people who go, wait, what just happened? And I'm like, okay, if you're just tuning in, Mason Fowler has indeed defected. We can confirm Mason Fowler out. And what I want to be able to do is like, look.
Yeah,
because I looked at it, like, people just need it visually.
Yes,
and ACC's like, Flo isn't putting it on here. Like, oh, we lost Mason. They want to know who the recipient who's going to take it over. Can I make one note on here?
Yes, you can.
I actually think for the negative 99, I think you invite Adam Bradley. Here's why: I had the chance to interview Adam Bradley. That man got points.
Okay,
and he should have beaten Pixley just based off of that points.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. we talked about it. And I said, have they talked to you? And he's like, no, not really. He was apparently the second invite on the like reserve list.
Mm-hmm.
But he never got an official explanation as to why he didn't get points.
I forgot to put Michael Pixley on here as well.
It's all right. I mean, yeah. Dude, I'm backing you up. I got it right here.
Yeah.
But I think if this is a spike tournament, you take a person that they couldn't admit or make a public statement that he should have, by all means, been in the trials process and won and been invited to the event. You say, hey, if he's not even on your main reserve, like, come to our tournament. Get your shot. Because even if he doesn't win, it's the principle of he did go through that trials process as well. He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
All he wants is his opportunity. And ADCC, at that point, in that juncture, Mo said he was going to put himself on the panel to make sure no nonsense happened. Nonsense happened, and then he said it was up to the referees. It was his as a last call if there was a draw, which is the quickest way to sidestripe any responsibility for it. And that's, again, these are small things that I go like, hey, they don't matter until they matter. But to this one dude, his dream of going to ADCC.
Yeah, because he was robbing the trials in the final trials. Correct. Yeah, yeah.
And, now I got to go watch this.
And my whole contention was, if you have an invite process, then why don't you invite him?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was right there. If there's a big discrepancy, call this dude the winner of the trials and then give him the invite. And apparently they could not do that.
And then set them up first match.
Exactly. And you give them not only the storyline, which you just did, which, by the way, very good booking. We're going to put you in charge of all the bracketing for that. But you also get the opportunity to say, our trials process works. We believe in it. We found these two guys. By not doing that, you create an athlete sitting there going like, I may be doing nothing come August.
Mm-hmm.
But if a certain Aussie with a certain flair for the dramatic wanted to really stick it to him, you pull him there too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Craig Jones just needs to go on like a full Suge Knight run. Like,
before we decide on this, on 99, let me. I think Mike Perez beat a B team guy, and I didn't put him in plus 99, but Mike Perez is also in plus 99, I believe. And I forget the name, the guy from B team that he beat, but I believe that guy from B team will participate.
He'll come in on that.
Exactly, on the CJI.
I mean, for Mike Perez, I see him sticking with ADCC.
For sure.
I think I see that there. And you just mentioned some names. Cyborg put up a post saying loyalty is important to him, so he'll be sticking in on that one. So he's out. They got Roberto. That was a smart play on that one. Mirigali, we mentioned. Grandy, I think, is going to stick it out. I think he'll stay there.
What about Lovato?
I think he'll go to CJ.
I think Lovato likes him some money, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I know he could be persuaded, but I think Lovato is also grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. I think he is also one of those guys who he's been in the game for so long. You don't want to create drama on your way out.
What about Connor?
I would take him.
Duarte?
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think he'd go, though.
I think the larger issue is, I think his better showcase is ADCC. So let him stay there. Okay. Luke Griffith, maybe. I don't know. But I would love to see my boy Paul Ardia come over. Like, I love Paul. I think that dude's a beast. He's a monster.
Yes.
I would love to see him be brought over and get some props, because he's won the trials 4 times.
Yes, 4. And doesn't get props for it, neither.
And I think you pulled the guy who's won 4 times.
I didn't even know that.
Last one, he smoked everybody. Yeah. He went in and smoked everybody.
Let me tell you how hard it is. I have a standing rule on my show, which is if you win trials, you can come on my show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I usually send him a message about a day after. It's like, hey, man, we're going to do the interview. And he's like, of course, brother, I'll be there for you. So we get there. And I go, all right, do the whole spiel. Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest, you know what? I can't do this anymore. He's already won 4 times. What am I supposed to say about this dude?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. It's Paul Ardea, this dude. And he just goes like, hey, man, how is it? I go, bro, I can't feign like excitement. You keep winning. Like, I've run out of adjectives. I've run out of words to describe how great you are. You just won.
It's like the Patriots.
It's almost like, although I like him a lot better than the Patriots.
Yeah,
wait, why are we pointing here?
He's a Patriots fan.
Oh, you're a Patriots fan?
Patriots fan.
No, I'm not a Patriots fan.
We've established that watching Ross win is like watching the Patriots win. So you know what's going to happen.
I was talking after his tournament. I was like, he's good, bro, but his game kills me because the way he pulls in the side control. Mm-hmm. And like, he's so good, but I'm like, bro, it's just like watching the Patriots dominate people in the
tournament. And I hate the Patriots, man.
So I was like, I'm going to leave now. This has been a fun
But it's game. Also like low-key a compliment, too.
No, it is. I'll take it.
It's just a technical beatdown from like crotch sniffing position, bro.
It is. Look, again, and to someone's, you know what? I hate talking about that game because I don't want everyone to know it, you know, but they'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, we got to hurry up.
All right. Sorry. All right. So now on to 88. I think we're going to skip minus 66. So we're only going to do. No, we should do.
No, hold on. Let me. So you were alluding to the fact that Diogo. His manager, like a spokesperson, his coach,
mm-hmm.
I think they were saying for like him, Mika, a few other people, they were like, we'll talk after Worlds.
Yes.
So that's what we're waiting for right now is for them.
And Fabricio.
Andre.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. But let me go to, I think we're finished with 99. Mm-hmm. I think, it, you know, let's go to minus 88. This is a good one. Jacob Couch, mm-hmm. Isaac Michelle. Tyra Tolo, J-Rod,
he's out.
Gabriel Almeida, Elder Cruz, Giancarlo Brodoni, and Pedro Moreno. J-Rod is already, he's already in, he's already doing it. Ty. It's hard for me to think, look, Isaac has a difficult relationship with Craig, he's out. Jacob Couch, this is his first one. He cried when he got in. He's out. He's doing it.
Yeah.
But the Rotolo brothers.
That's what I'm saying.
Give me the Rotolos.
Yeah.
The Rotolos. For sure. Money, the Rotolos are in.
Money.
Mm-hmm.
The Rotolos are in for sure.
Good jiu-jitsu.
Well, the only reason I don't. I think they'll run through it, bro. Like, the Rotolos are like that good. I don't think. I think they should be at ABCC.
And look, and here's the thing. I think it was Kay was on Rampage's podcast, and it was someone's podcast, and he's like, "Oh, would you ever go against the Tacky Brothers?" Like, yeah, me and my brother already beat them, you know, so it'd be easy. To know that that's easy money right there, and they're building their school. I think they're still building a school somewhere else. I think this would be like prime for them to like get in this and take it. I believe that if Craig is able to pull that off, and I believe this wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
Can I make some advice to anybody? I don't know. Is this my main camera right
here? Yeah, this is the only camera at this point.
If you're likable, get away with it right now. So I'm talking to you, Keith Kerkorian, the Rotolos, the Tacketts. Because you guys are so beloved in the community, learn from Craig. You have the ability to leverage that likability.
Yes.
Because it'll go a long way. There is a reason why the Tacketts did it professionally. They said, yes. This is why we're not doing it. This is what it is. ADCC is always in the future. And the threat that they're being put with ADCC is, well, if you do this, you got to do the trials process again. And the Tacketts went, we'll do it again. We already had to do it.
Yeah.
You get somebody like Keith Kerkorian. He's already had to do it multiple times. You get somebody like the Tacket brothers who are like, you're going to make us do the trials? I'd like to see you try because 1FC is paying us real nice right now.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that those boys have even more ability to leverage to say, we're not going to do this one. We're going to do Craig's and we'll see what it's like. And then we'll come back if we want. Do it. Use your likability.
I agree.
I don't know too much about Gabriel Almeida, so I'm not going to comment on him. Elder just got his invite. This is his first time there.
He's been there before.
He's been there before? Yeah. So this would be his second time?
He qualified at the last process. So in
2012. So he was in?
Yeah.
Okay. So look, he got an invite.
I think it's so late that it's safe to assume he wouldn't.
He would, okay.
I think so.
We've already talked about Giancarlo. I think he's staying. And Pedro, he's a maybe as well.
Yeah.
I think Pedro's a maybe.
You know, okay, hold on. I want to go back because are we going to 77 real quick?
No. A minus 88, but you can go ahead.
I want to just pull a couple of these because I want to.
We're about to go to 77.
Here's why.
Did I not pass you guys your water bottles when we started this?
No.
I'm an asshole. Wait. I have water if you guys are thirsty.
Oh, you know what? So I'm parched.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Look at DJ. Like, no, I got my like a non-hydrating cola.
We're an hour in. I'm like,
all right. So we talked about the Rotolos. Give me them. Give me Tommy Lee Langaker.
Tommy Lee Langaker.
Yes.
I'm actually unfamiliar.
Man.
He won. What was it? Well, Worlds. Nogi. Okay. Easily. He just won something else. But he just got beat by he just got beat.
Was it one of the Tacketts? Or no, one of the Rotolos. Didn't they finish him out at...
No. This is recently. He just got beat by... It was a Rotolo.
It was one.
They're so fucking good.
They're so good.
Yeah.
And he's fireworks.
Which is why they would go for this $1 million. I'm sorry. Going back to the Rotolos. But go ahead.
Give me PJ Barch.
No. So PJ Barch is in my 77.
In what? Oh, that's what I was jumping in.
Oh, he was just...
Here's why I'm saying this. Because what's happening right now is that 88 looks kind of locked based off of relationships with people. You mentioned Pedro. I'm not even sure Pedro. Because I think Pedro is appreciative of the opportunity. Mm. And what Craig did put up, though, on Friday, and we only saw one since then, was he put up a Brazilian flag and put three new announcements. They made one of them, and that was when he announced that they had the Hulk. When they announced that they had the Hulk, then I was realizing, like, well, who are the other two Brazilians? Did he have that talk with the other guys from Worlds, or who's coming here? So I'm looking at all these Brazilian flags here and all of these ADCC athletes, and I'm thinking, like, what does he know that I don't for those two guys? Because I can't seem to figure it out. But I think for them... He was making the argument that it's harder to leverage your ADCC championship in regions like that where there's not as much money or income that people can pay for maybe seminars or instructionals. So he's like, I don't know why if you're from another country that doesn't have the stronger price of a dollar, why you wouldn't come to us. Yeah. So I mean, this is
just he said.
You know what? So all right, so since you know, let's go to 77.
Yes, sir.
I think, look, everyone... all the names that we just did is over eight, over 80.
Yes.
So however many people we pick, that's going to be one division.
Mm-hmm. I think we should go, bro.
Which one?
Jacob Couch.
Absolutely.
But he's not.
He's not, bro. But he's not winning that, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he has a better chance if, like...
You know, I mean, no, I'm with you. I'm on the... I don't think necessarily he would be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
But he could show out there. It could be a surprising performance or two.
Yeah.
But you put $1 million in front of that dude, I think that's like putting a carrot in front of a rabbit, and you see how good he would be at that $1 million stage.
Yeah, and I don't know. I have respect for the dude. Like, I got to see him live at Charles in Vegas a couple years ago. He's a bad dude. I just don't think he's winning the division.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
I hear what you're saying, but I definitely agree with Raph. It's just like 100%.
Strong.
I feel like he's just like, he comes from the gutter. And so, like, if that diamond is right there in his face and he knows that's his goal, he can go for it. He'll go for it.
Are we talking about him in the CJI or the ADCC?
In CJI.
I think there's some sort of weird aspect of Stockholm syndrome happening, though. I think these guys are getting hit heavy with loyalty and heavy with how would you ever do this to me? And I feel like that's some weird evil villain in a movie being like, what would you play? Maybe the evil villain, like Catholic mom shit, where they're just like, how would you do this to me? I brought you into this world.
Yeah.
I'm your mother. Like, that's the type of stuff that, like, you hear and you'd be like, no.
It's just the kind of things that jujitsu, like the politics in jujitsu, man, it runs rampant through our culture.
No, even in like academies.
Academies, No, I mean, it all falls back to that. I mean.
Also on this, Levi Jones lyric.
Yes. All right, so here we go. Minus 77, JT Torres, Johnson Gracie, Cade Rotolo, Dante Leon, Mika Galvao, PJ Barch, Oliver Taza, Andy Valera. I think, so JT Torres is probably out. He gave him Moe's black belt. I can't see that happen.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Mika.
Gracie.
So for sure, we all are in agreement that, like, we think he'll that jump. Kay is going to go. But you think the Grace?
Because we just mentioned how it was potentially two other Brazilians, right? Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't coming from that 66, that Gracie invite could be a game changer. But, and he could show out on that one.
Is that, isn't that his first time? Well, not just Gracie. Isn't it his first time at ADCC, though?
I got to double check that. I'm not sure.
Because I think, like, if it's his first time at ADCC, it might be one of those ones where he wouldn't be willing to give that up. You know what I mean?
One person who hasn't got received an invite yet, but he's for sure gonna get an invite, is what is his name? AOJ.
Are you talking about Koabate?
No, the other one. He just won twice. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Yo, but Cole for Craig. It's a Tynan. Actually, Tynan, well, absolutely could Tynan. Get an invite, but that could also go to Craig.
That's
my the god. Thing. Oh my Tynan, god! If everybody on the reserve list is already getting hit up right now. Oh my god!
You know one name I haven't heard is Mikey Musumeci.
Yeah,
where is he? Mikey's at? Super small.
You know, I mean, look,
put on some weight. He's super small.
He's doing fine in one, bro.
He's okay. Kept himself out of that conversation. He was invited to the last ADCC and selectively turned them down. Yeah. Okay. And I think that burned him a little bit, and I think they were kind of sour on it, but. The other implication of that is because he's doing so well at one, and oddly, they were kind of, I don't want to call them tomato cans, but like, we need to come up with a nicer version of that name. The people he was beating was like, this dude teaches Sambo down the street, and he's good. And I go, is he? And then he would just wreck their knees, and I go, oh my God, that's a terrible story.
So the last thing I seen from Mikey, he was training Muay Thai, like teasing, jumping into MMA and doing stuff. So I don't think he'll.
Well, it could also be whatever his one FC contract is, but he's also got a great match with Gabriel Silva. And I think that's the best match that they have given him thus far that I'm most excited about.
But as far as him competing in either one of these, I don't think he's going to do it.
Especially under 80.
Yes, yeah, that's too much.
Oof, that's tough.
That's tough for him.
Let's go through these names because there's a few names that we haven't named that are not on these lists at all. So we already said, Kate, what do we think about Dante Leon?
I feel like he'll stay. I would take him in a heartbeat, but I feel like he's going to stay.
We're up in the same. Air. You about the same?
Same, yeah.
We're up in the air about Mika. That's if they take Mika, they're screwed. In my eyes. Yes.
If I have to bet money,
fan, bro, I think he can win. I think
if I have to bet money,
if you give him this, he's like, I can win $1 million and save my family. Like,
that's what I'm saying. If I had to bet money, he's taking this. He's taking this.
So that's the thing. That's the thing, bro. It's going to come down to what the other Rutolo brother does.
Hold on. Has anybody not figured out the implication of when this tournament happens and the coaches that hold them back will see who wins? Has anybody thought of the fallout that's going to happen when people think I could have won that? Mm-hmm. Because they're going to see those pokes and they're going to start talking about it. Because my first implication was you're going to see, like Fionn was kind of setting up, which is, hey, let's see who's best here. Because you know the minute that Gordon sees whoever won, he's going to be like, oh, that person's nothing. Give me a match with them right now and I'll show you guys that we're superior to them. Like, you know that's happening.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to write down one submission I'm going to finish him with.
I'm like, oh, I'm a jiu-jitsu magician. Look, oh, behind your ear, I got that neck triangle. Yay. Like, I just know that was what I was predicting. Now that we're talking about it and I'm hearing you guys all bring this out, now I'm thinking about if a coach says we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody that you know you could have beaten won that.
That's when stars.
Now you're going to see some real talk out of that. And then guess what? It's good business for me because then when they come on my show, they're going to be like, oh, I've beaten that guy before. I can beat him. Let's set up a super fight for that.
So you know what? No, you could have had $1 million.
And guess what? Yeah. The person who won it is going to be like, this bed of cash.
Yeah, look,
I can't be bothered right now. Yeah. I'm sleepy over here. They're exactly. Like, I don't need to prove anything. Y'all are dumb.
Wipe your tear with that 100.
Because you're going to be like, what are you going to offer me for the super fight? 20 grand.
See you later. See you in the Bahamas.
20 grand and a dollar. Oh,
wow, that's your job. Two athletes retiring after the CJI.
Yeah, all right. A lot.
PJ Barch.
I would take him in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him. I don't know.
But you think he's going to stay?
I would like to see him persuaded.
If you're in the position where you're a reserve, why wouldn't you?
No. He's in.
He's in.
Oh, okay.
But he's in because he was part of the podium for trials. Okay. And he's been to the dance before.
Okay.
We already talked about Oliver Taza, so he's part of New Wave. Yeah. Andy Valera.
He has made it clear he's doing ADCC.
Yeah.
He's pissed.
That's that.
Oh, no.
I really wanted Andy to do it. I like Andy.
Okay.
I love Andy, too. But I think Andy's seeing two things happen here. Okay. First is he didn't win the trials. When he didn't win the trials, he didn't want to do the third place match. And his coach, Casey Halstead, pulled him aside and was like, you get your shit together and you get out there and you perform. And he brought him back. And he won very quickly for that third place spot. Yeah. So that third place spot puts you in good contention for when they're going to start picking out their athletes. And when, hilariously, for the PGF, I got to go cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be the pre and post show. Loved doing that. Mm. But BMAC asked us to do a draft. And I was like, do you really want us to do that? And he goes, it would mean a lot to me if you guys did a draft. It would be cool. And I'm like, but they're all going to hear who we pick.
Oh,
and they're all going to be in their feelings. And he's like, oh, no, I think it'd be real nice if you did that. And I go, okay, fine.
Trying to set you up.
So I do it. And me and four out of three other guys, we do our draft. And when it comes, I have first pick.
This is one with Jake?
This is Jake, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay, yeah, yeah.
So I get the first opportunity to pick. And when I do, they go in order, you know, kind of like on the board. They show you who's ranked, and it goes all the way down. And number one ranked is PJ. And I go, I'll take Andy Burrell. And they're like, really? And I was like, mm-hmm. They're like, are you sure? I was like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say anything else. I like both those gentlemen. I have interviewed them in the past. They're friends of the show. I get there and I say hello to PJ Barch and I'm like, my man, how you doing? He's like, you didn't pick me first, bro. Like, yeah, dude, brother, no, come on, man. And I don't want to make him fall off his game. I don't want to tell him my reasoning why. But yeah. I'm just like, I did not pick you first, brother. And he just goes, all right, we'll see about that. And I go, okay. Andy Varela advances. PJ gets knocked out of contention, doesn't make playoffs. But because somebody else can't fulfill their duties, he's going to get back in. But that night, it looked like we didn't know for sure. We do the interview with him, and I'm like, hey, man, we're going to pull you on the show. I want to give you your props. And I'm like, I want to tell you something, PJ. It is so dope that you got to experience what we're seeing in football when they get drafted, and they get to experience being the first pick. Your body of work, your resume, you deserve that, man. And he cuts me off, and he goes, yeah, but you didn't pick me first. And I looked at him, and I go, was I wrong? And he goes, man, why'd you have to do that to me? I was like, you did it to yourself. Yeah. I was here setting you up and being like, you're a fucking G. You're a great guy. And you had to look at me and you had the nerve to tell me. Yeah. You didn't pick me. You did that in person and on my show. What am I supposed to do? And I go, real talk, would you pick me if the roles were reversed? And he's like, well, were we talking to the over 50 division? I was like, that's fine. I'm not quite there, but we're close.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, but what you have to understand is I'd probably be in my feels, but the stats nerd in me would be like, that's fair.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. When I interviewed Andy, I give him his props. I'm like, hey, man, congrats. I knew you would do it. I knew you'd kill it. He's like, yeah. I go, yeah, I picked you. And he's like, man, you picked right. You picked the champ. And I was like, don't get me wrong. I'm also the champ of my division because I won our fantasy league. And, I go, and what people didn't understand was they didn't know two things. One, when you walk back out after losing at ADCC, I knew you were going to win PGF. I knew when you showed up for your third place match, you would have a chip on your shoulder and you got something to prove. I knew it. And I go, and two, you get more rear naked chokes, which have a higher value in this point system than heel hooks. Mm. And I had a feeling that's all you were going to go for was chokes because you're smart. So that's why I picked you over PJ. Not because he's not good. He's a beast. But guess what? Most of his points came from heel hooks. So it was a computation. And he goes, so we're both champs? I was like, that's right. This is a double champ segment, right?
I said it on the low earlier. I'm going to say it again. My man's a tactician.
I love these guys. But you know what? You interview them all, and you want to be as honest as you can. But at the same point, like, I'm strong in my convictions, and I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong. But I'm not wrong that much.
You know what I mean? Like, but it don't happen.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. And, like, some of these guys, they'll surprise me, and I'm sure that's fine. But I want to make my case for the people who I think should get paid to go out there and do what's right for them.
Yeah.
And if they are on the fence, I would like to strongly urge them to consider it And you know what? If it burns ADCC, maybe you don't need them in the future. And maybe that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think now you leverage that to make yourself a bigger star and you stop having to be afraid, because everybody's so afraid of saying the wrong thing that you might piss these people off. And I'm tired of people running it like it's the mob. Mm-hmm. I don't like mm-hmm. it. I think that these athletes should be treated fairly for what they are. And guess what? If you continue to treat them like dicks, do not be surprised if you create the competition or see them go elsewhere.
Well,
shots fucking fired, dude. And I think we're at like,
yeah, I don't think we need 10. To say anything else after that. I'm about to find one in this
one of Clue's bombs real quick.
Something, shoot.
I was like, yeah, what he said, bro.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna say thank you guys for coming.
Yes.
And thank you, Jason, for letting me do this, because I came with you last minute and I really wanted to do this. Thank you, Raph, for coming on.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Effie, for coming on. Thank you, GJ, for being here. Dude, I am so thankful for this. This is like one of my favorite things to talk about, and I'm so privileged and appreciative of everyone coming and talking about this.
Definitely. Raph, so, do you have anything you want to shout out or promote before you head off?
Always. You guys can always check out Grappling Hour. You can check us out literally every social media place. So that's YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of those different places. We're even on TikTok for whatever reason, but we are. At Grappling Hour. No, but I got a Patreon, which kind of feels the same, except I don't take my shirt off as much there. So you guys can check that out. 30 days.
OnlyFans.
You can check out my Patreon. You see my interviews 30 days before anybody else. And we do some segments for our higher tier, which we do match breakdowns with the athletes. So we watch the matches or fights with them, and they break it down with me. Super nerd stuff. Love it. And then we also have a segment called Roast Raph, where people roast my competition footage. So the athletes come on and I'm like, don't try and fix my game. Just make fun of it. And surprisingly, the most popular segment we do for whatever reason. And I think we're doing a segment called Road to ADCC. Now, originally we were going to do this like technical breakdown of like how athletes got to the big show. But I think the big show is changing, so I don't know that we're doing that same thing. I don't know. Like, legitimately, I had that in my bag, and I was like, well, let's talk about it. And then once Craig came in, I was like, am I really doing this segment for the B show? I don't know. We don't know what the A show or B show is.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling if you guys end up calling it the B show afterwards, it'll make people be in their feelings. And guess what? I will tell you this. Don't ever be afraid to say what you're supposed to say. But do know that they do keep lists of what you say and who you are. And if you care about that sort of thing, that's fine. But if you want to be just honest and do your work and be very clear about what you do, it won't bug you that much. So check that out. Thanks, you guys.
Man. God, man, we all have to do this again. thank you guys for stepping in. Evan, anything you want to shout out? You good, bro?
Straight, man. This was a great experience. Thanks for having me aboard.
Appreciate you
guys. All right. You know, I'm going to go ahead and sign out. Like I always do, like, comment, subscribe, and share. And if you want to smoke, hit up Jay. And if
y'all got to see Raw first. He's the world champion. Look, he's the world champion. Double gold. You got to go through him first.
I'll be at Forge Open Mat on Sundays.
Look, he just straight up said, pull up.
Oh, man's coming in with his medal and being like, what? What's the issue?
I told y'all in the beginning, bro. Evan's a scary dude.
Yeah, I love it.
I guard him.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Stay blessed.